Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're Grant and Danny, and this is The Fan. The exclusive sponsor for our show is the law firm of Condori and Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Please schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. By the way, with James Wood and Dylan Cruz, who both are in the lineup for the Nationals tonight, now in the big leagues together for the first time this week, it is time to upgrade your gear with the latest from the Fan's merch store. Check out our Cruz Wood 2024 shirts. I love mine. I wear it all the time. Or you can grab a We've Got Wood hoodie for the fall if that's your thing. There's also a Cruz Mitchell shirt that's pretty good looking as well. Get all your gear going into the fall right now at 1067thefanshop.com. Might be time to upgrade your winning off the field tees for the Grant and Danny.
Indeed, sir.
Program as well.
I wore the burgundy and sold shirt from the 106.7 The Fan Shop to our event in Richmond on Sunday.
No, that would be a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah,
that was when we became Arsenal guys.
That's right.
Big Arsenal fans.
All the songs.
53 formed for the Washington Commanders. I think it'll look different tomorrow. I don't know that they're going to pull off a John Ridgeway trade like they'd like to. I don't know what they're going to be able to get done at the wide receiver position, but I do know that this is not going to be put in pen or put in Sharpie. The headlines, if you're just jumping in your car, getting on the road on your way home today, as the roster was formed by Washington and Dan Quinn having addressed the media, is that they kept a boatload of safeties. If you keep Dominique Hampton at the safety position on your depth chart, 7 different safeties and 12 defensive backs, Mike Sanristil, Jeremy Chin, Emmanuel Forbes, Noah Igbinoghene, Quan Martin, Derek Forrest, Michael Davis, Ben St. Juice, Percy Butler, Jeremy Reeves, Tyler Owens, and Dominique Hampton. Whew. Now, safety, I do think they're going to be pretty good. But I think at corner, you're basically throwing bodies at a problem, right? I mean, Let's be frank. I mean, there's really not anything trustworthy there on the outside. I think the inside nickel position, we are assuming Mike Sanristil is going to be terrific, and I think he will. He had a great camp. He had a good preseason. So let's just say that last year's national championship winning captain at Michigan is awesome. They've got Igbinoghene behind him who had a good camp. All right, fine. The inside, the nickel corner spot is good. Outside, it's Forbes. Who else? Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juste. I have major questions there still.
So Ben Standig wrote this in his roster projection. Kind of the whisper quiet little thing is Sanristil has wowed coaches so much. This is from his story. The great news is that Sanristil wowed coaches and teammates this summer with his maturity, toughness, and coverage ability. He has been so impressive that defensive coordinator Joe Witt said the second round pick and primary slot corner has begun playing more outside in 2 cornerback sets. Now that's good. Hey, this kid's impressive, but it's bad because there's significant questions about the other guys at that spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, number one, you're almost never in those situations. Like there were teams this preseason that ran 11 personnel 95% of the time. The Rams came to mind. I think Washington was in 11. And 11 personnel, by the way, is 3 wide receivers. Washington was in that almost 75 to 80% of the time from the numbers I saw Warren Sharp putting out. Now, whether you operate at that extent that way all year, I don't know. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But I do think that's something that, you know, if you're playing outside when 2 receiver sets and you're only doing that like 20, 30% of the time max, okay, I guess. The other problem is you move them outside, you solve that problem, as you said. It's a leaky dam.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're putting our finger over this hole. Water's not coming out. Wait, what's that over there? Now you got to run over and put your finger on that hole. This is like a cartoon all of a sudden. I mean, there's an explosion coming at some point. The water's mm-hmm. about to burst.
Yeah. Where do you want the leak to be? That's the thing. I guess for me, I would rather have my leak inside than on the outside because you get beat outside, it's touchdowns. You get beat inside, it's another first down.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it. Okay, there's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How about other positions of interest? Wide receiver going Crowder and Pringle at your 5th and 6th spots over any of the youth, whether that would have been Kaz Allen or Bryson Tremaine, shouldn't have been a surprise because you can get those guys to practice squad. But I normally just like a little more, not only youth on my roster, but twitch, wiggle, speed, burst, juice, whatever you want to call it. And I think they prioritize like veterans who have been around with a young quarterback.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, if there were marquee names, like if they drafted a couple guys higher, you know, maybe traded back into the first round or use one of their second round picks on a guy like that, you know, you could sort of see, okay, we're developing not only the quarterback, but another guy in the receiver room. Let's mentor him with a Jamison Crowder, with a Byron Pringle, et cetera. This is basically, you know, Terry McLaurin and the Misfits at this stage. Plus, you know, you hope that there's some upside with Luke McCaffrey. But to me, this is the spot where I still feel like it's most likely that's not the final group that's assembled for next weekend.
Our coverage today of Cutdown Day here at the end of training camp presented by Paul Henry's Windows, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Let's get to the Nationals as we get ready for baseball. 5 minutes from now, Charlie and Dave will have pregame. Juan Soto's in D.C., got a lovely ovation. I just got a text from our buddy Toby Altizer, who's over at the ballpark today at BP.
Mm-hmm.
He is the co-host of the very popular, beloved Bustin' Loose Baseball, one of the great Nationals podcasts in America. He texted us and said that Juan Soto signed an autograph for every person down on the field behind the rope at batting practice. You know, they have 15, 20, 30 fans come down. He said he was over there for like 20 minutes just signing for everybody.
Awesome.
He is really soaking up his return to D.C. and all the love he's getting. Do not mistake that for me thinking he's coming back here. A day after his Sferluga in the Post wrote that the Nats should sign him. I agree with Barry. They absolutely should try to. I just have no faith in this ownership group doing that, and I'm not going to spend one single second trying to convince myself that that's a possibility. I'll be pleasantly stunned if it were to happen, but I don't think that's a real thing.
So I think even if you counted it, each one of those signatures is the equivalent of $10 million for Juan Soto in terms of overall salary. It still wouldn't be enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a non-starter at this stage. I just can't see it. I would love to be wrong. I'd love to be surprised. I'm not even talking about Juan Soto. A large marquee free agent acquisition, I would be blown back. I would be knocked out of this room if that's what ended up happening.
So that is a more fun discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to describe and define what large free agent acquisition.
Like somebody that other teams wanted.
Okay.
I'd be surprised
so
at this point.
That I'll disagree with. I think they add a big bat. They'll add someone who hits 25-plus homers next year and projects to maybe give him 30. I've thrown the name Anthony Santander out a lot, the right fielder for the Orioles. I don't know if it'll be him. I think he leaves Baltimore and he goes and gets paid somewhere. But it'll be an outfielder like that. You know, Teoscar Hernandez was with the Dodgers who won the Home Run Derby. I could see somebody like that signing with the Nationals and playing him in a corner. Now, if they do that, you kick Dylan Cruz to center and James Wood stays in left, then Jacob Young, who's a Gold Glove Award-winning center fielder, defensively maybe a Platinum Glover this year, is out of a gig. And I know that Mike Rizzo has an affinity for Young, as he should. He's an unbelievable defender who also is going to steal 40 bases maybe this year. So there's something to be said maybe for just keeping your cheap homegrown outfield together with Wood, Young, and Cruz left to right, and then maybe spending at the corners in the infield. Maybe you go get a bopper at first. You could get someone who hits a ton of home runs who could play third until Brady House is ready, then transition to DH. You could sign two first base types if you wanted to, one to play first and one to DH, and go add, you know, a combined 50-plus home runs that way. But I do think they're going to add a big bat at least and probably an arm for the rotation.
I hope you're right. I don't think you are. I don't think it's outside, like the Nelson Cruz tier is, I think, where they're going to spend once again.
Well, if that happens, it's time to really start crushing them. And it's time to start coming down pretty hard on the ownership group, because that would be pretty inexcusable. after the Corbin money comes off the books with them showing what they did this year before they sold off at the deadline. Last few years, that made a lot of sense in the rebuild. And I think we're past that point. So
I would agree with you.
I think how we would cover that as a show, certainly, and hopefully as a market, would look very, very different this time around. Let's get to your Nats starting lineups and pitching matchups presented by The Window Man. Since 1989, The Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free, no-pressure, in-home estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom.
Behind Patrick Corbin, whose ERA is south of 6.0.
Let's go.
Now it's a tough assignment. It's the Yankees.
Next
so
stop,
it might go up.
Maybe under 5.5?
Maybe after the next start, because that's a good lineup. Anyway, leading off by shortstop, Abrams batting second. The James Wood batting third. Oh, hello there. Second baseman, Luis Garcia. Your cleanup hitter, doing the catching, K-Bert Ruiz. Your DH batting fifth, Andres Chaparro. Batting sixth, third baseman, Jose Tenya. Batting seventh in right field, Dylan Cruz. They're not booing, they're cruising. Batting eighth at first base, Joey Gallo. Batting ninth, your guy, my guy, our guy, Jacob Young.
Odd that Cruz hit second last night against the lefty, now all the way down to seventh against the righty. He was a lot better against righties in the minors than he was against lefties this year, for what it's worth. Nats game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season's here. We know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/stormprep. Our show meteorologist, as you all know, is Darris Dameron.
A little bit of a scorcher out there tonight. It's going to be 89 degrees at first pitch. It'll dip into the low 80s by the time the game ends. But no chance of precipitation. Have a good night at Nationals Park.
Let's go. No go. Rain. Darris bringing the good news.
No rain. Like Von Miller.
Weather report. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad. I love you, Dad.
You're the best, Dad.
I love you, Dad.
Appreciate you, Dad. keep it right here for Nats pregame with Charlie and Dave next. We are back at it at 2 o'clock for Darris and Ryan, Grant and Danny, saying so long till tomorrow, Vargas.
Thank you for coming.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.